Welcome to Einstein's Disease. Through real-world insights and powerful conversations with industry leaders, we help you break past limitations and rethink success. Are you ready to push the boundaries of what's possible?
My name is Greg Ehlers, host of Einstein's Disease. Welcome to our show tonight, where we are going to discuss the problem of healthcare. Healthcare in the context of people being aware and understanding what not only what their options are and why so many things with respect to healthcare shouldn't be as big a challenge as they are. People end up finding themselves in a position where the challenges seem insurmountable, or they've had so many experiences that they believe that everything they know is all there is to know. Today, we are fortunate to have with us the CEO of WOW Health, Jawad Arshad. Jawad, it's great to have you on the show today. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Greg. It's a pleasure to be here as well.
So Jawad, prior to the show and in previous conversations that you and I have had, we've discussed a lot of these challenges or problems, however we want to look at it. We're going to come up with some great solutions and some things to help people out in the future, but we really want to initially and stage this based upon the challenges and problems that healthcare has brought forward to so many people. And one of the things we always talk about, Jawad, is the aspect of education. And education is something that a lot of people, after their formative years, they don't really spend a lot of time on. They get to an employer, they think they have healthcare, then they become an entrepreneur, maybe start their own business, or they've chosen not to work for a large employer, and they're challenged with, well, I'm sick, I need to go somewhere. So I'd like to have you kind of give us and the audience a better understanding of some of the challenges and what education really means for the healthcare industry, because there really isn't a real way to get an education, is there, Jawad?
Yeah, absolutely, Greg. I think, unfortunately, like many things in life, most people are stuck in what they know is what they believe to be the only thing, right? It's hard for us to kind of break that mold. Hence, I think the incumbent's advantage, right, in anything in life, and it's the same in healthcare as well. We don't really get taught in any formal how do we go about obtaining healthcare in our formative years or in our, at the time of schooling. So you come out, you get health insurance through your employer, as you mentioned. And the assumption that most people make is that once I have health insurance, when and if I get sick, I will be able to use that to take care of myself. And I think that's where the first folly lies, right? That you will be able to use it to take care of yourself because you don't recognize all of the ways that an insurance product is actually meant to protect the carrier, protect the company that's providing it first, before they are going to think about how are you going to be able to use that service and create really an expense for them.
Right.
I think that's the main issue.
Exactly. So when we talk about what you just alluded to from an education standpoint, Jawad, is I go in and I see a doctor. He or she at the front desk says, Greg, your copay is $50. I go in and see the doctor. There's an evaluation done. Maybe I come out and have a medicine, or maybe there's a follow-up appointment. I go to the checkout. They say, okay, thank you very much. Here's your next appointment. And then 2 weeks later, I get a bill in the mail and it says $400. And I'm like, I had a copay of $50 when I went in. I thought everything else was taken care of. Meaning there really is no true first dollar coverage, Jawad, with a lot of the traditional methods to receive health care. And that's one of the first times people kind of have a reality check. But there's ways around that. But from an educational standpoint, how do we how do we explain that to people? Maybe you can spend a little bit of, you alluded to it in the way that you said that a doctor and health insurance and maintaining protection for the provider before there actually is protection for me, the customer, me, the user. You could maybe expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, I think there are really a few, three ways, mainly broadly speaking, that a carrier, that a product is being protected, right? So you have copays, that is essentially a barrier, in my opinion, to a, sort of dissuade the user from having to go see the doctor because you're gonna have to pay something out of pocket when you do. Now, depending on the plan, it may be really low, it may be $10, or it may be, you know, on the higher side, it may be up to $100. But the barrier is there so that you know that at the first sign of sniffle, you're not going to show up at the doctor's office because you're going to pay something out of pocket. That's essentially a copay, right? At the time of visit, I'm paying something. Then after that, the carrier says, well, you know, we want there to be even more protection for the product. And so we're going to build in something called a deductible, right? So we're going to have a larger amount, maybe in the, again, richer plans, maybe $1,000, $2,000, all the way up to $15,000 or even $20,000 for family plans, right? Where that first amount is going to be paid by the consumer, by the patient, because they're again trying to make sure that the plan, the product is not being used overwhelmingly, right? And they're trying to dissuade you from using it. And that's what you're seeing. So when you go see the doctor says, okay, I am going to submit a bill for $400 for this office visit. You have paid me $50 when you came in the form of a copay. I have $350 left still that I'm going to bill to the insurance, right? The insurance is going to take that $350 and they are going to do something called a markdown, or they have some kind of a contractual agreement with the practice, and they're going to say, well, you can charge $350, but our agreement is that we are really only going to pay $150, right? Well, you've already collected $50, so you've got $100 left. Let me see if my client, the patient, has already spent the $5,000 in deductible or not. And if you haven't, the insurance company lets the medical practice know that here, good luck getting the remaining $100 from the patient because they haven't actually spent the $5,000 that they need to spend out of pocket before the insurance company is going to be responsible. So I think so that's the idea, right? Is that we need, and then of course there's a third piece as well, which are co-insurances, right? These are amounts that you're always going to be paying a percentage of. So if you have a 20% co-insurance, for example, right, they're going to be able to say, you know, $10,000, you are responsible for $2,000, even above and beyond the deductible that would have been there. Right? So even as I'm explaining this, right, it sounds complex.
It does.
So you can just imagine how written out on a piece of paper, right, and you know, you look at it and says, okay, you have $2,000 deductible and you have $14,000 maximum out of pocket. And you're like, what is a deductible and what is maximum out of pocket? And what is, you know, a co-insurance? So all of these terminologies, like any cottage industry, are really meant to first protect the insurance product and then to allow for the payment of the service, of the benefit that you really come in as a consumer thinking you have from day one.
Right, and I think if there was, as we opened this up, the problem with healthcare and the education aspect, I think you really touched on the three key tenets there. And it's important that our viewers understand education is something that takes time, but time that can be very well spent, right, Gerard? I mean, in the end, if you don't ask the questions and you don't understand what your rights are versus your obligations, because you do have rights as a customer and as a user to be able to understand these. And that leads into what will be in our next segment, a solution that removes a few of these tenets that we've discussed that most people that are consumers of healthcare are challenged with. And most importantly, from the standpoint of not only health, specifically behavioral health, areas of depression, those things work in when these bills pile up. They affect your credit score. They may affect your ability to get a new job and put you in a position where everything that's happening is based upon, in some cases, the lack of education or knowledge about what you were trying to accomplish in the first place. Right, Jawad? It's a vicious circle, and we're going to address those problems, or that problem with respect to education in the current usage, with a couple of solutions right after a commercial break here, so we can pay our bills. So Jawad, we'll come back in a few minutes. Look forward to talking about the first solution with respect to healthcare. Thank you very much.
You break past limitations and rethink success. Are you ready to push the boundaries of what's possible?
Hello, it's Greg Ehlers with Einstein's Disease. We're back for our second segment with Jawad Arshad, the CEO of WOW Health. Jawad, it's great to have you. And let's dive into to one of the solutions. As we talked about in the first segment, one of the biggest problems and challenges for all consumers is just the inability to truly be educated and to find that educational channel with respect to healthcare. So we're going to dive into a solution that touches on what we ended the last segment with, and that is co-pays, further responsibilities, who's really getting the first dollar of coverage. And when we talk about that and WOW Health specifically, as we go into this, maybe you can spend a few minutes starting out here about why and how WOW Health and what you created provides to the consumer, the person in need of health care, why you went so well with the first dollar coverage through your telehealth and beyond, to not only have the transparency, but for people to realize, hey, look, I'm going to pay X, and that's what it's going to cost me. And if you could start with that, because that'll work really into the solution, so our listeners understand and our viewers understand exactly why this is a solution to the problems that they are being challenged with when they utilize what they believe to be the only traditional health care insurance.
Yeah, absolutely, Greg. So I think as you alluded to, you know, the fundamental issue that we're dealing with is education, right? It's lack of transparency. You can't educate around something if you have no visibility into what it costs or what that is, right? So I think when we started thinking about solutions, how do we bring really meaningful healthcare access for our members, right? The first thing that came was, well, we need to simplify this a bit. So for example, if you have a traditional insurance plan, I challenge most anyone to tell us ahead of time, before they get the service done, how much that service is going to cost, right? How much is that ultrasound? How much is that MRI? How much really is that doctor's office visit going to end up costing them in aggregate, incomplete, by the time all the bills are settled? They won't, because even if you call the insurance carrier that has given you the policy, right, if you call their member support office and ask them, I'm going to get this MRI done, how much is this thing going to cost me? They won't even be able to tell you either. They'll give you some vague answer about, oh, it'll be anywhere between $400 to $800, and, you know, it depends how it gets billed, and depends on, well, yeah, there are a lot of dependencies, right? So you have no visibility and you have no way of knowing. And I think that's really what WOW Health aims to do, right? Our goal is to bring that transparency, because transparency is what education is, right? If you know what it is, then you can decide what the best step would be for you. But then we also wanted to bring access to care. And access to care fundamentally then means that you are going to be able to get to see a doctor, you're going to be able to get your care taken care of, right, in a meaningful way, perhaps first without having to spend any money. So, for example, in our platform, our telehealth services are zero cost, right? And
Say
we
that
do it this
again.
way.
I got to interrupt you there. You're providing access to healthcare at first dollar or zero cost, as people would see it. It's the first dollar of coverage. They pay you. They pay their monthly
Membership.
fee, and that first dollar allows them to actually get access without any other copays. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. So
That's
we know,
powerful, right? I mean,
yeah, that exactly.
for our viewers out there, what Jawad is saying is, when we were discussing the problems in the beginning, you're walking in, you're paying for the ability just to be in the office, and then when it's over with, you might actually have more money that's owed due to the fact you haven't made a full contribution to your annual deductible. And you're saying, you pay your monthly membership and you get first dollar coverage. That's what I'm hearing, Jawad.
Yeah,
That's
absolutely.
powerful.
So
That's
exactly.
really powerful.
And Greg, look, there are different ways for us to meet, right? As a provider, as a physician, as with our patients, right? So sometimes it's in person. And yes, that's not going to be free. But a lot of times, according to the AMA, about 70% of office visits can effectively be done via telehealth, via telephone, or a video call. So for all of those two out of three, encounters, we can conduct them across a screen. And if we do that, and we can bring that at zero cost for our members, right, then now we have at least reduced one barrier that's there in being able to obtain that care, and then really thinking about holistically what health is for our members.
Oh, that's and do you, statistically, post the COVID environment, the ability to have telehealth or a doctor that you can see has become and technology, obviously, but we've seen a little bit of a behavioral shift, haven't we, with respect to some members of our population feel more comfortable just at home rather than sitting in a doctor's office. But the one thing that I think about, or I'm sure some of our viewers are going to say, well, how do I know if I'm talking to the same doctor? What if I talk to somebody else? What if I go and see my doctor? What's the consistency, and does everybody know what my health situation is? Do I have to keep repeating myself? Maybe you can spend a couple minutes to, allay some of those concerns and talk about your process.
Yeah, Greg. So what we do is we provide our services in what's called a membership model, right? We are not an insurance carrier. We are not an insurance product, right? So in any membership model, we are going to give our clients different options, right? So for example, in one option, someone who is somewhat healthy is not really thinking about having that continuity of care that you were alluding to, where, hey, what about if I want to see the same doctor every time so they get to know me a little bit better over a period of time, right? For them, an arrangement like a virtual urgent care would be sufficient, and they probably may not need much more than that. Now, someone else who may have high blood pressure, who may have diabetes, who may be thinking, I would like to establish a relationship, right? There is a service within our memberships called a virtual primary care. In that case, you actually can make an appointment with that same provider for any future appointments. right? And it gives you that ability to have that continuity of care that you desire. I think one of the really key things for us to recognize is that because there are different settings, telehealth versus in-person, right? Our goal here at WOW Health is to give you the option to for both, right? So we always say that we are a true hybrid of healthcare delivery in the sense that we are going to allow you to connect with a physician via telehealth. Yes, we've tried to remove as many barriers as possible, cost being one of them. And so that's gone. Another one could be transportation. Another one could be the amount of time it takes, right, to actually be able to conduct that visit with a physician. And
That's
under a normal day, you may have to drive 40 minutes, right, to get to your doctor's office, then sit there for 20 minutes before you're seen, and then, see them for maybe 10, 15 minutes, and then drive back. Well, the whole thing took 3 hours for a 15-minute appointment, right? And maybe if I could just get on a video call, right, I could do it right at that moment.
That's
So I think so. It's removing
fantastic.
those barriers.
That is fantastic, and that is a outstanding solution to not only the challenges with respect to the ambiguity of cost and care, Jawad, but it's also you're meeting people where they are, it seems to me, because as you mentioned, not only the hybrid model, but more importantly, people are busy. People are trying to find ways to access that care, but do it smartly. And the most important thing is not to be getting a bill in the mail the next month or a few weeks afterwards. So I think as we leave this segment to our viewers, WOW Health, Dr. Arshad has discussed one of the solutions on the next episode. We'll break into another solution of WOW Health, but we've got to cut away for our pay some bills here. And check out to a commercial. We'll be back shortly. Thank you very much.
Break past limitations and rethink success. Are you ready to push the boundaries of what's possible?
Hi, this is Greg Ehlers, and we're back with the Einstein's disease, and most importantly, our guest today, Jawad Arshad, CEO of WOW Health. Jawad, I really think that I believe that our viewers really got something out of that last episode with respect to a solution, and a solution that's a hybrid, something where your company is trying to meet the consumer where they are, provide the service, and provide them first dollar coverage, which is a term that many people appreciate in anything they get. So that was great. So I kind of want to expand on that in this block here. And as you mentioned, you provide some wonderful services with WOW Health, but some of our viewers out there might be saying, well, what else do you offer? I think I might be interested in this, but what else comes with it? What are some of my other options that WOW Health actually provides? And I want to touch on that because as we were talking before the show, you alluded to the fact that 93 or 94% of all incidents for health for anybody in our population take place outside of the four walls of a hospital. And that was the nexus for WOW Health for you in so many ways because the consumer, as we've talked about with the problem and then into the solutions, you've addressed that. But there's also those incidents where people do need to go to the hospital. And when they go, there needs to be something there for them. And you can, if you would touch maybe just briefly on what those options are, if they want to be just a WOW Health member, or it, and that would be the first thing, and then we'll dive into your program that gets to every element of the necessity from outside the hospital to inside the hospital. So maybe you could just touch a little bit on something that has a, it's called a MEC. Maybe that would be something that would be added to WOW Health. In healthcare, there's so many different ways to discuss things to confuse people. It'd be great because you did so well in the last first two blocks. just to kind of share what that actually means and how it works, and then we'll move on to the more important stuff.
Yeah, absolutely, Greg. I think you know, so broadly speaking, when you when I think about what is the motivation, why did we kind of build Vow Health to bring access for healthcare? What we recognize is that 9 out of 10 healthcare events, 9 out of 10 times when people touch the healthcare system, especially under the age of 65, which is sort of our main target market, right? They are doing it in the outpatient setting. What that means is that it is outside the four walls of a hospital, right? They're going to a doctor's office, they're taking a blood pressure medication, they're getting some labs done, perhaps an x-ray, a mammogram, an MRI, maybe they're going to the dentist's office, right? All of these services, A, can be done outside the four walls of a hospital, so you can go to a local clinic or a local lab to get those done. And B, these services, actually, you are a self-pay regardless if you do or don't have insurance, right? So if you didn't have insurance, well, then you're kind of on your own. You've got to figure that out. But if even if you did have insurance, the terminologies we talked about, the co-pays, the deductibles, the co-insurances, when you put all of them together, about 8 weeks after your visit, you realize that, hey, I've just paid $250 for that office visit. Well, could I have paid a better, more transparent price at the time of service if I had told the doctor that I was going to pay them directly, right? And that sort of, I think, is the question that Vow Health addresses. And our proposition, of course, is that yes, and you can not only know what the total episode is going to cost, but you actually will almost always end up paying less in aggregate than if you would using a traditional insurance plan. Fundamentally, Greg, I do want to touch on this, right? Because I think that what most of us don't recognize is that health insurance is the only insurance product where we expect that routine maintenance of our bodies, in this case, right, should be paid through a product like insurance. Whereas if it comes to auto insurance or homeowners insurance, right, we recognize that maintenance care, that oil change, that tire rotation, your AC's tune-up, right? That maintenance care of whatever is being insured is actually being paid directly to the provider of service. And if there is a catastrophic event, then we are depending on that product, right, to protect us against financial ruin. In health insurance, because we've kind of muddied the water by bringing the routine, less expensive but frequently used events with significant expensive inpatient care, right, and bringing them into that same product, right, we've really, I think, twisted how that product is being used.
Jawad, what you just shared with the audience, the clarity of home maintenance, auto maintenance, and obviously having homeowners insurance and auto insurance versus healthcare, it's upside down. You took a look at what you do on a normal basis and said, why can't I have this with respect to my healthcare? That resonates. That is, I guess in today's terminology, I guess we'd call that, or my kids would, probably yours, call that a mic drop. You got that one. And that really pushes towards that solution. You're providing the same thing that an automobile insurance company, a health insurance company, would be given to the same people that are getting bills 3 months or 3 weeks later and finding added expenses. That doesn't happen with those insurance. Why should it with healthcare? I know there, all of our listeners out there, the millions of them that we have, they get that. That is a great way to frame that. Let's jump in this segment to what is offered through WOW if they wanted full what we would call in modern day comprehensive healthcare. Let's talk about that for a minute, because there are people out there that are going to say, yeah, that 95% I love, but I can't sleep at night because I'm worried about that 5. I know that's not the majority, but there's definitely people out there that have that mindset. Why don't you touch on that for us here as we continue this segment, Jawad?
Yeah, thanks, Greg. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, statistically, again, right, 5 to 7% of the events, especially for people under the age of 65, are going to fall into large medical needs, right? That's surgeries, pregnancy, perhaps hospitalizations, right? Stuff that's really expensive, and realistically, no one can really pay for that out of pocket. So now you're kind of stuck, right? Because you either need to have a traditional insurance plan, you're thinking, or I'm going to be unprotected against those potential events and end up really sort of in a situation that may bring financial ruin, right? And I think so. This is where we know that just like any cottage industry, there are a lot of terms. You threw out one, MEC, right? It's minimum essential coverage. This is a provision of the ACA, of the Affordable Care Act, that basically said, you know, some services, some minimum services must be included in every insurance product. Okay, we can live with that. You know, that's something that employers, not individuals, have, right? Another myth out there, and since I just mentioned that, is that some people still believe that it is required by the federal government for them to carry an insurance plan, otherwise they will get penalized. And of course, this particular provision was repealed many years ago, right? So, and still we will run into people who will say, well, if I don't carry an insurance plan, then I'll have to pay a penalty. And no, that's not true. That provision was repealed many years ago, right? So even if you are not carrying a traditional insurance product, you are not at risk for penalty from the IRS. Now, you alluded to the fact that, well, there are people who are going to say, well, okay, that's fine, that's good to hear, but what about the idea of us having some comprehensive coverage so that even if I do end up in the hospital, I am not going to be left without some protection, right? And so there are non-traditional products out there, something like a health share. You may hear another word called medical cost sharing, right? These are sort of community-based approaches. These are nonprofit organizations, really coming out of the evangelical and Christian communities, right? Where they're saying, you know, we are going to pool together the resources of 10,000 people, 50,000 people, 5,000 people, right? And we're all going to put some money into a pot, and no one is going to touch that money unless one of us ends up in the hospital. So what they're fundamentally saying is, if you go see your doctor, if you go and, you know, take your blood pressure medication, if you go get an MRI, you're on your own. You're going to pay for that yourself. But if you end up inside the four walls of a hospital, then suddenly we are going to assist you in paying those bills, right? Now, that is sort of rudimentary as we speak about
Yeah,
it,
no,
but it has become
that
very
yeah,
structured.
that makes perfect sense, and it aligns to the fact that because 95% or more, some number around that take place outside of the four walls, being able to have that coverage and know if you go, you're responsible for the first 2,500, but if something is sustainable over time, maybe you are get cancer or something that requires added services beyond the year, unlike a traditional health insurance product, you don't have another deductible if it's the same event, which in the end is why it provides something that's a lot more stable to people, because they aren't looking at being diagnosed in December and then in January they have a whole new year and they've got another $30,000 deductible. That's a powerful element to the product. We're going to cut away for a commercial here and we'll be back with Dr. Arshad here to close out the show. This is Greg Ehlers from Einstein's Disease. We'll be back shortly. Thank you.
Break past limitations and rethink success. Are you ready to push the boundaries of what's possible?
Hello, this is Greg Ehlers. I am the host of Einstein's Disease, and we're closing out today's wonderful show with Dr. Jawad Arshad, CEO of WOW Health. We've been discussing today one of the rudimentary problems, really root cause of the challenges in healthcare, and that's the lack of education or the challenge to find answers when you have a healthcare problem. With some of the solutions that we came through with Dr. Arshad were programs that are offered by WOW Health, the company for which he founded. And we've really been fortunate to get some really great answers and some wonderful ideas about how to look at healthcare going forward, because everything else in the world is changing. And it seems that what Dr. Arshad has done here is he's found a way to move to the consumer, move to you, versus where everybody else is sitting back saying, "Ah, we'll just send them another bill." I find your company and your strategy very exciting and extremely interested. I'd like to spend this last segment with you, Doctor, to learn a little bit more about how you started the company. When you started this company, did you have the expectations, you know, I'm just going to start this, it's going to work, people are going to love it, it sounds good, it's not expensive, you know, and then all of a sudden said, wow, it's a little harder than this. So maybe you can just kind of get to there, and then we'll follow it up with a few more questions and give our viewers a little more insight into the entrepreneur element of starting a business and the challenges that you've had to face and overcome.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. Yeah, so as you alluded to, I'm a physician by training, right? I'm an ER physician. I have had a fortunate career path where I've worked for a large health system, both clinically and administratively in Southeast Michigan. I have since then left corporate medicine, so to speak, and started my own clinic, and I became an employer in that process, and also started to come face to face with my clients, with my patients, recognizing that healthcare truly is blind leading the blind, right? Patients have no idea what any episode of care is going to cost, and neither do we as providers. I may tell you should get an MRI, but I have no idea what your cost would be and if you are actually going to get it done. So those were some of the things, right, that led to the creation of the idea of, hey, what if we look at routine outpatient care, carve that out, let's put that on the side and allow our members access holistically again, right? So not only telehealth, but also for in-person care, take them to a local clinic if the need be. You're going to pay for it, but telehealth is free. So creating that incentive and creating that that opportunity for our members to get care meaningfully. But if they need to go see someone in person, either out of choice or out of necessity, then we're going to be able to get them there. But then not only doctor's visits, right? Thinking about, hey, what about medications and labs and imaging and dental and procedures? And so all of these things, right, we were able to build a complete continuum of healthcare. And there are great partners of ours out there who provide these services in a direct pay manner, which again ends up costing almost always less out of pocket than a traditional insurance encounter may. We then started thinking about, you know, what about the other 5 to 7% of the events where you end up in the hospital, and started looking at some alternative arrangements. We alluded to one, health share or medical cost sharing, in our last segment. So I think now putting these two together, it feels like that we have been able to solve the healthcare problem. Well, then you come again, the curse of the incumbent, right? You have, for example, a front desk person, and the practice contracted with us. The practice said, of course, you know, we will see your members, perhaps for $100 a visit, okay? And just send them whenever they have an appointment. Well, the conversation took place with the manager, and, you know, the new hire at front desk has no idea about this special arrangement that the practice has come into. So you call and you say, hey, I'm going to come and see Dr. So-and-so. And the front desk says, what's your insurance? You say, well, I don't have insurance. I am a self-pay through WOW Health. And instead of honestly asking, because I don't know if that person doesn't want to come across as being ill-informed to their new employer or what, right? They say, oh, if you don't have insurance, we can't see you. Right? And this is where you either have to advocate for yourself, right? And you say,
Yeah.
no, let me talk to the manager, right? Or more people than not just kind of give up, right?
Yeah.
And they'll say, oh, they're not going to see me, I guess. And so I think so it's that issue, right? Again, one of you started the show with one of education, right? We're having to educate our members how to be able to get care, but then also we need the rest of the medical healthcare dispensing community to be educated as well, that it's okay to think about getting paid for a service outside of having to submit a claim to the insurer.
Absolutely. And I think that, when you frame it that way, we've been in an environment for a while with higher interest rates, higher levels of inflation, which have necessitated higher wages. There isn't a doctor's office out there. You're a doctor. You'd much rather get your money today than wait 60 or 90 days or debate it with the health insurance company. So that whole education process on the other side is, we have a whole nother episode with that one at some point, Jawad. So spend a few minutes and what about the internal aspects? I mean, you started out with a baseline and said, this is what I'd like to build. And you started to build it, you had a baseline, then there were some corrective action measures. Share with us one of those corrective action measures that was probably a little bit more humbling than you might have thought.
I always joke that entrepreneurship is a bipolar experience, right? There are up days and down days. You feel like you've gotten the solution and it's an up day, and then you are humbled by an issue that comes up that really sort of came out of left field, right? So we have situations that come up. One of the issues, Greg, that is that healthcare is a very episodic event, right? Most people don't actually even think about needing healthcare more than maybe a couple of times a year, right? Especially if I'm younger, I'm not going to the doctor on a regular basis. I may think about healthcare once a year when I get the sniffles. How do we stay in front of your mind, right? So that when you are feeling ill, you are going to know that this is my resource. This is where I can go and get that care, right, that I need. So I think just staying engaged with people who even know about us is a challenge because of the nature of healthcare, right? So we've had to come up with some ideas about how to add value on an ongoing basis from a wellness standpoint for our members. And then, of course, as I mentioned, you talk to the medical practices and they're getting killed, right? Because of the amount of money they're losing on insurance claims and paperwork and just the sort of the back office minutiae. And yet, even their own employees are sort of, standing against that practice from becoming, or at least, having some of their money come to them in a different model where they're getting paid
Absolutely.
now versus later.
Absolutely. So Jawad, as we bring this to a close, and we see, WOW Health is obviously an accessible website for everybody to take a look at. Why don't you tell us a little bit about our viewers today are going to go on and they're on their smartphone, tired of listening to me, and they're going, this WOW Health, this is pretty neat. So if they sign up today, how long does it take to get WOW Health? And to our viewers out there, if you put in hashtag Greg, you get 10% off. So that's for your first month for WOW Health. Tell us a little bit about how long it takes, Jawad. What's the process for the folks out there?
Yeah, it's really simple, Greg. I mean, we address the needs for individuals. You're 1099, independent contractor, maybe someone who is not getting healthcare benefits, but then also for employers, right? So it really is regardless of how you are going to come, and you can come to our website, and search for a membership. And again, as any membership, we have different tiers, right? someone who is young, fairly healthy, a basic membership, $30 a month, a dollar a day may be sufficient. They're going to have access to a doctor, not necessarily the same doctor, through a virtual urgent care at zero cost. And if they need to go to a clinic for an in-person appointment or visit, right, that would be done through the platform as well at $100 a visit. Now, then on
That's
the other hand, you can build that up, and you can go all the way to comprehensive, where it becomes a complete replacement, effectively, of a traditional insurance product at, as you know, 50-60% less cost than what you may be paying in the form of a premium alone for insurance.
that's fantastic. So, www.wowhealth.com. To our viewers out there, visit the site, understand what it's about. Jawad, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show today. I really appreciate your entrepreneurial spirit and what you're trying to do for so many people out there. And I applaud you for taking on a endeavor that really will do a lot for a lot of people if we can, and hopefully we did some of it today with respect to the education process in how things work. So I
No, Greg, I just want to point out one thing at closing, right? Because for us, healthcare is very personal. We have purposely made our website www.mywowhealth.com,
My bad. Sorry, Jawad.
mywowhealth.com.
I got you. Mywowhealth.com. Error on my
Thank you
part.
again for
Good
the opportunity.
way to close out with a correction from a doctor. Listen, everybody, thank you very much for tuning into our show today. We look forward to seeing you next week. It's Greg Ehlers from Einstein's Disease. Good night.
This has been a Now Media Networks feature presentation. All rights reserved.